Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's Monday, February 17th, and it was quite an eventful weekend for the Pittsburgh Steelers in the news column. Going to go over several top stories we got here. Namely, there's been an update in the receivers coach position for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Looks like it may be someone else than we originally reported based off of what we were hearing from some of the college coaches out there. Well, I'll get into detail about that. And also, of course, all things on Myles Garrett, Mason Rudolph, and all the nonsense that has sparked from there. We'll also do Mock Draft Monday. It's back because we're back. It's just Steelers all the time. Let's get into it. All right, everybody. Welcome back. Hope you enjoyed your Valentine's Day weekend. I know I did. Got to spend it with a really special girlfriend. And, you know, it was a really crazy weekend for everything else that was going on for the Steelers, especially after a crazy week. I hope, you know, let me know what you guys thought about that Ultimate Division crossover week. It was quite eventful. You know, I always appreciate the guys from the other shows. They do a really good job of, you know, making it easy to vibe and not having those awkward silence conversation, you know, type of moments in podcasts. I've been there before. But let's get into the top stories of the day. So, going to lead off with an interesting tidbit coming out of Gamecock Central, of course, for South Carolina's football, college football team. It was a report that came out that their wide receivers coach Brian McClendon is indeed staying despite his flirtations with the NFL. That means that the Steelers won't be getting him to replace Ray Sherman as the interim wide receivers coach, and all eyes kind of turn on to the new guy, a person that you all know that some people suggested this might be the case and was reportedly the second person in line for the job. And it looks like it's going to be Jericho Cotchery, former Steelers wide receiver of the early 2010s, also played for the Jets and a few other teams in the NFL. Jericho Cotchery, this coming from Dale Lally, he wrote a whole thing about this on DKPittsburghSports.com, that he was next in line and that he looks like he'll be the hire. Jericho Cotchery, for those who don't remember, was brought to the Steelers back in the early 2010s to sort of replace what Hines Ward was, because remember Hines Ward really set the tone for what a Steelers receiver should be back in the late 90s, early 2000s, and then throughout the decade of the 2000s. And after he retired, they had the Young Money crew. They had Mike Wallace, Emmanuel Sanders, and Antonio Brown, who at the time was probably the smallest name of that group. And they wanted to make sure that they had a veteran that they could rely on that could sort of set the tone for the rest of the receivers. And that became Jericho Cotchery, who had a good time with the Steelers. And when he left the Steelers, he really he made it very public that he felt the family organization that they were. He went on to play for the Panthers, and he retired. He coached for the Panthers for a little bit, but you know, playing for the Steelers for 3 years, it was 2011 to 2013. He set a really good reputation with the team, left a really, and this is why when you leave teams, you want to leave on a good note, because you never know when you might get a job. Now, it's not official that Jericho Cotchery is the Steelers' receivings coach. It's, you know, there's still a lot to consider here. But consider that he was the guy that was trying to keep the receiver room in line a decade ago. It makes a lot of sense that he would be the guy here that they could bring in. He's someone that Coach Tomlin knows very well. He's someone that's had a history of the organization. He's someone that knows the tone that the room is going to need to be set at. And the Steelers, remember, they still have a lot of young receivers. All their guys were 23. They'll all be 24 next year. Deontay Johnson, Juju Smith-Schuster, James Watson, even Deion Kane, when you think about it. He may be undrafted, but the guy that they signed in the middle of the season, he's 24. I think the oldest receiver in the room right now is Johnny Hilton at 28, who'll be 29 next year. So they need somebody that can sort of say, hey, I've been in the NFL. I know I've seen the circus. I've been around the block. All the metaphors and all the analogies that I can throw out there. But you guys get the sense. Jericho Cotchery looks like the man. It's not official, but we will keep tabs on this as we move forward. So, I say that because that's the light story. Now, let's get into the nitty-gritty. What's going to happen here, I'm going to go over the basic information of this, and then I'm going to get into my takes after the break. But just a rundown, this is, of course, talking about Myles Garrett and Mason Rudolph. Now, I went over my whole rant last week about how Myles Garrett being back, being reinstated in the NFL made absolutely no sense. It sets a weird tone, but it's also what we expected, right? It's the NFL. They as soon as people aren't looking, they're gonna go the other. They're gonna say, okay, let's do this now because they want to get their star back in the league. Well, you know, at least that was just the story at first. I was like, well, okay, it's behind us. You know, as long as Myles Garrett doesn't attack anybody else with a 6-pound helmet, we're fine. Then he comes out with this interview with ESPN's Mina Kimes. And in this interview, he alleges, again, that Mason Rudolph called him a racial slur. Only now he specifies it's not just a racial slur. He called him a stupid N-word. Now, this, of course, ignited a whole bunch of talk among sports radio because now everyone's scrambling, saying, okay, you know, well, the NFL said that, you know, it was said before, again, just not to relitigate everything, but the NFL, you know, when this initial allegation came out, it wasn't that Myles Garrett reported it to the public. He said it in his appeal hearing, and it leaked from that hearing that he made this accusation. And that's how it got out. And then Myles Garrett apologized to Mason Rudolph because he said he didn't want it to get out, which is an odd thing for a person who called you the N-word. But that's another story. So, you know, that happens. The NFL says they do an internal investigation. They say they find nothing that can prove that it happened. They have no evidence that suggests that it did happen. And to me, you know, everyone's kind of assumed that, well, that means that they could prove it, that it didn't happen. It seems like it's more so that they were saying that they didn't have the means to prove that it would happen. And that was an official statement that came out this weekend. The NFL came out and said that they don't have microphones on the field. And in this particular situation, the only microphones that would have been on the field at that time are by interior offensive linemen, and those always by regulation get turned off as soon as the ball is snapped. But it's done so that they can pick up if people are trying to simulate, if a defense is trying to simulate the snap count of the offense, which is against the rules, and that's a penalty. But all that aside, this all starts out, and then the fallout comes because he doubles down in this interview, and then of course everyone starts giving their opinions. Mason Rudolph came out and he made an official statement. Well, just a tweet. He said, 1,000% false, a bold-faced lie, did not, have not, and would not utter a racial slur. This is a disgusting and reckless attempt to assassinate my character. Then his attorneys came out, Younger and Associates, saying the following statement, quote, we waited to hear the entire interview. Garrett, after originally apologizing to Mason Rudolph, has made the ill-advised choice of publishing the belated and false accusation that Mr. Rudolph uttered a racial slur on the night in question. Note that Mr. Garrett claims that Mr. Rudolph uttered the slur simultaneously with being taken down and before Mr. Garrett committed a battery by striking Mr. Rudolph on the head with a 6-pound helmet. His claim is ludicrous. This obviously was not the first time Mr. Rudolph had been sacked by an African-American player. Mr. Garrett maliciously uses this false allegation to coax sympathy, hoping to be excused for what clearly is an inexcusable behavior. Despite other players and the referee being in the immediate vicinity, there are zero corroborating witnesses, as confirmed by the NFL. Although Mr. Rudolph had hoped to move forward, it is Mr. Garrett who has decided to utter this defamatory statement in California, and they make a specific note of that. He is now exposed to legal liability. Now, California has very different laws as far as what can be recorded and what can be said and things like and liability lawsuits. So, when you establish jurisdiction over there, that's what they're talking about there. Is that now they've opened a door to being exposable to California laws, which means they can attack him a different way for slander and defamatory statements, you know, being false enough. And then of course, Mike Tomlin, Steelers head coach, comes in with his statement, saying an official statement that comes from Bert Lauten, posting it on Twitter. Mike Tomlin said, I support Mason Rudolph not only because I know him, but also because I was on that field immediately following the altercation with Myles Garrett and subsequently after the game. I interacted with a lot of people in the Cleveland Browns organization, players and coaches. If Mason said what Myles claimed, it would have come out during the many interactions I had with those in the Browns organization. In my conversations, I had a lot of expressions of sorrow for what transpired. I received no indication of anything racial or anything of that nature in those interactions. Now, that's a mouthful. It's a lot of stuff coming out here. It really seems that the only thing that sides with Myles Garrett is the fact that he is making this allegation. But there's no other players, no other coaches, no other referees, no audio can support this. What does that mean? I'm going to get into my take on all of this right after the break. All right, listen up, guys. You know you guys can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed with Blue Chew. And that's BlueChew.com and blue like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free. That's F-R-E-E, free. When you use our special promo code NFL, just pay $5 in shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code NFL to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. All right, we back. So let's dive into this a little deeper. Now, I appreciate all of those who reached out to me about this topic because, I mean, this is a really deep topic. This ain't just, oh, you know, I hate the Bengals, or I hate the Steelers, or I hate the Browns. This involves race, this involves people's character. This involves potential character assassination. It strikes a tone that really calls for a serious conversation, and not as much of a fun one as that we a lot of times have on this show. But I, as an African American, I'm gonna take this from. I want to express my opinion. I've made this clear to Josh Taylor on 93.7 The Fan here in Pittsburgh. I was on there Sunday morning with this conversation, and I gave a similar take that I'm going to give now. And this is building off of what I said when this initially happened. But step one for all of this situation, if Myles Garrett actually believes this, I want to make it clear, I'm not specifically saying one side or the other is lying or telling the truth. For those who don't know, I have a background in law. I went to law school. I don't believe in just stating something that's a fact that we don't know is a fact. Now, do I lean to the side of Mason Rudolph? Of course. When you have all this evidence, when you have a lack of evidence to the level that it is for Myles Garrett, that's not going to make me jump to your side. However, what I won't do is I won't just say that this guy's lying without evidence that he is, because I've been in a situation as an African American where someone has called me the N-word. And when I mean someone, I mean a white person with disdain. It's happened to me before. And when I've reported it, people didn't believe me. When I was a kid, I used to get called a monkey by my counselors in the after school daycare program. And when I complained about it, the only people who believed me were my parents. And so I've grown up dealing with racism. So I'm not going to just go out and call Myles Garrett a liar because I cover the Steelers. I'm from Pittsburgh, and obviously I have a bias towards them. What I am going to do is challenge Myles Garrett as an African-American man. And knowing the history of this country, what all has gone down, if you believe that racial discrimination has been coming at you, you cannot just come with your own word. You cannot just say, oh, he said it, that's it, that's all I have. In this situation, on a national stage, when all of this happened. Now, mind you, this still doesn't excuse his attack. You know, my father raised me to know that as a black man, if someone calls you a name, and a race and a racially insensitive name, and one of the and no the worst name, thing that you can call somebody in the English language. Someone calls you that, you cannot let that take you out of your element and do something that would harm you. And that's what Myles Garrett allowed to happen. He let his emotions get ahead of him. And that's, again, even if Mason Rudolph, let's suspend all doubt. Let's say Mason Rudolph said it. That doesn't excuse what he did, what Myles Garrett did. That doesn't mean you can go attacking people. If that happens, your job is to step back, you know, keep the peace, report it. But again, as a black man, you cannot go around and not have not even one inch of support, not even from your own teammates. The fact that when this report broke out, that no one in the Cleveland Browns locker room said that they heard this accusation before. This was a shock to them. If you really believed that this happened, Myles Garrett, you needed to go to every single one of your teammates after the game. Mind you, you just won. Now, granted, your situation just soured a huge win, probably the biggest win that Cleveland has had in a decade. But you should be immediately talking to your teammates and saying, hey, this is what happened. I was called this. I know I should have done this better, but at least he would have had his team backing him. But he didn't even have that, which is why I don't think that he's telling the truth. Now, there's also the possibility that he thought he heard something. We've all been in situations where we thought someone said something and it was completely untrue, especially in places that are loud and lots of things are flying and your adrenaline's up. I could get that happening. But again, this does not sit right with me in any way, shape, or form that not a single soul came to his defense and said, oh yeah, he told me that this and that was why he did this. And, you know, he didn't excuse himself, but, you know, he did say that's what triggered his actions. You got to do better than that, Myles Garrett. You know, that would be like Thurgood Marshall. And again, this is an extreme circumstance, but that would be like Thurgood Marshall showing up to a trial and saying, oh, all I have is these kids' word that they were discriminating against by the Board of Education. You know, that would be a disservice, and that is a disservice to the fight against racism in this country. And racism is a major problem in this country. It's one that it's hard to talk about for some people because it's such a sensitive issue. But Myles Garrett does nobody any favors when he talks about this and doesn't back it up with anything. And I get if you thought that the NFL might have picked something up, but you need to know that you needed to make sure there's every character witness, every person that you can, and grab and say, look, man, they said this happened. Mike Tomlin's right. You know, that was a crazy situation. Everyone was trying to calm everything down. There's pictures of him hugging Odell Beckham Jr. afterwards. There's everyone talking. Nobody heard of this until it leaked from his appeal hearing. And the fact that he said after the appeal hearing, I wish it didn't get out. Why do you care if it got out if you actually believe that it happened? Now, I get the idea that he doesn't take it too hard. No, you know what? No, forget that. I don't get the idea. Myles Garrett has handled this situation poorly. Either he is lying or this is the worst job of saying, of trying to prove that racism has impacted his life. And that is an utter failure on his part if he is telling the truth, or even he believes that he's actually telling the truth. My stance is, I don't, if you put a gun to my head and make me pick one side, I'm picking Mason Rudolph and believing that. But I still sit here and I'm like, I just find it really hard to believe that there's not even audio that the NFL picked up anywhere. I mean, this is the NFL. They've got sound effects crews. How many times, and this was nationally televised, this is Thursday Night Football. Everyone's eyes are on this game. And I just have a hard time thinking that there wasn't any audio of that scrap. How many scraps have we heard audio from in the NFL? How many times have we heard the most random things, people just yelling stuff, and just picked up from things from all the giant sound cones? No, I don't know if the NFL is hiding something, but this does seem fishy to me. And maybe they want Myles Garrett to shut up and let this go away, because I mean, again, if Myles Garrett is lying here, even if he's not, say Myles Garrett again. I don't believe that Myles Garrett is telling truth. I'm not going to say definitively that he's a liar, but I am saying it is not looking good for this man. But that not looking good for him is for them, that's enough to go to civil court on, which is what Mason Rudolph's lawyers are talking about doing. So all he's done is reopen this wound and now open the door for him to be sued, which I think Mason Rudolph's lawyers should go ahead and do. Because if you're going to come and keep making these defamatory statements against my client, and you can't prove it, and not only you didn't prove it the first time, but now you bring it up again, and he's trying to have his career. Those kinds of things do impact people's careers. I think he's opened that door, and I would not blame Younger and Associates for pursuing and walking through that door and saying, you know what, we are filing suit against Myles Garrett in the state of California for liability reasons, and because he has defamed my client's name. Now, I look at this situation and it's crazy all around. And still, again, even if the bottom line to me was that everything was fine in their altercation until he attacked Mason Rudolph with the helmet, even the taking off the helmet, I was like, you know what? People scrap. I've been in football scraps before when I used to play in high school. You know, stuff gets nasty on the field. But as long as no one is like assailed in the way that Mason Rudolph was, everything would have been fine. But as soon as he did that, he crossed a major red bold line. These aren't blurred lines. These aren't gray lines. That's a major line that everyone knows not to cross, which is why Marquise Pouncey came in and gave him a few fresh ones. Ugh. It's a heavy one. But here saying this, I'm probably going to end up having to talk about this again, but just know that my stance is that if Myles Garrett is telling the truth, shame on him for not doing a better job of making sure his truth was protected or supported, because he needed to know that if he really believes that what happened, that he needs to come correct. If Myles Garrett is lying, shame on him, and he deserves any bit of defamatory lawsuits coming his way. All right, serious segment over. It's time for Mock Draft Monday right after this break. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Mock Draft Monday. Let's get it busy. All right, so we're going to do a new edition of Mock Draft Monday going into the NFL draft, and it's going to involve you all. And I want you to take advantage of this. Have fun with this. This is going to be a fun segment, and thank you very much because to our great fans, and specifically to Julio Mercado. Because in the Facebook group, go to Facebook. If you're not in this group, I'm telling y'all, it's a great group to be in. You're with other Steelers fans. You'll have a good time. We just talk football, have a good time, make some jokes, react and share your feelings on there about things that are going on. Julio Mercado posted an interesting idea about having a fan part of the Mock Draft Monday, where going into each weekend, you can go to your own mock draft simulator. There's plenty out there. Go to the draftnetwork.com, Draft Wizard. If you Google NFL mock draft simulator, you'll find there's several out there that allow you to do this. And what you can do is you be the Steelers and make the picks. And in the Facebook group, what I'll do, we did this sort of spontaneously this past weekend, but now from now on, every Friday, I'll make a post where I ask for your mock drafts. All you got to do is do the simulator, get your answers, and then do a quick screen grab, you know, on your phone or on your computer, and just post it in the comments below that in that post, and then I'll go through and review them, and I'll pick my favorite of the week. So, and then I'll go through each of those picks. If you think there's a group of players that I would like talk that I would think is a good pick, and you want me to talk about them, I'll do that. So, I'll get into who won this week's mock draft. Mock Draft Monday selection, or fan selection. But before that, we're going to get into the actual mock draft we're going to talk about, which was kind of interesting. So, at the Draft Network, a great website for you to follow. There's several Locked On podcast hosts that work for them. But they did a new one over the weekend called Rage Against the Mock Draft Machine. Of course, Rage Against the Machine, great band, love those guys. But Trevor Sikema started something new where instead of them picking... The Instead of them picking it, the players, they let their machine fully automate every pick based off of the needs and stuff that they've placed in their simulator. And so, and then they provided their own commentary as far as what it went to. So they did three rounds, which right now the Steelers don't have a third round pick because the compensatory pick hasn't been assigned yet. So really the Steelers only had one pick in this draft. But interestingly enough, the 18th pick that the Dolphins got for their Minkah Fitzpatrick trade was Kalaivon Chason, edge rusher from LSU. That's been a popular one for a lot of people. The question that we ask is, was it worth to give up Minkah Fitzpatrick to avoid Kalaivon Chason? Hell to the yeah. So, moving forward, let's go to the second round where, it was interesting who was on the board in this second round. The computer had the Colts selecting quarterback Jason Eason. KJ Hamler went to the Lions. Lucas Niang went to the Dolphins. Offensive tackle going to the Dolphins. Antoine Winfield Jr. That's kind of crazy. So going through T. Higgins going to the Colts at 44. Raekwon Davis, inside defensive lineman from Alabama. He's a guy I think that will end up being very good going to the Buccaneers. The two picks that come before the Steelers in this are both edge rushers. Julian Okwara from Notre Dame and Terrell Lewis from Alabama by the Falcons and the Jets. And the Steelers select, according to this mock draft machine, wide receiver, Arizona State, Brandon Ayuk. What in the world was this machine thinking? Let's rage against the machine, people. The Steelers do not need their top pick this year to be another wide receiver. And some people probably picked that in this draft because they really like a wide receiver. And that's fine. I think there's some really good wide receivers in. This is the best wide receiver class I've seen, I think, ever. As far as a collective and how there's guys that you could draft in probably the fifth and sixth rounds that you could foresee being contributors to a franchise for quite some time. Brandon Ayuk, I really like him. He's a heck of a player. When I look over his ability to make plays, he makes people miss. He's very dangerous with the ball in his hands. He could be a return guy. He's not a physical guy, though. Now, granted, they have those guys in Juju Smith-Schuster and James Washington. But the problem here is if you pick a wide receiver in the second round, now you've got three second-round wide receivers on your roster. And effectively, really four, because Deontay Johnson was a third-round pick, but he was like the second pick of the third round. You got four guys. You can't pay all of those guys. And you got other problems. You got to address the tight end position, the running back position, the offensive line, maybe interior defensive line. You know, and if you're if you're one of the people that think that Bud Dupree's not coming back, edge rusher would be the top concern. But second pick, that's crazy. In the third round, the Steelers don't have a pick yet, so that was the only pick of the draft for this mock draft. There will be several more, of course, not just machine picks, but their own mock drafts that they will post in the many weeks leading up to the NFL draft. I did a rundown of the running backs on DKPittsburghSports.com, a rather detailed one. I'm going to get into that later in the week, but before to end the show today, I'm going to reveal our winner and go over their picks of the first official Locked On Steelers fan-fueled mock draft Monday. And the winner is Julio Mercado, who started this conversation. And I feel like Julio cherry-picked because he was like, wait a second, I got a great draft here. I'm going to make a subject and get on the show. Well, Julio, you succeeded because I liked your draft picks. I'm going to spread this around a lot because I don't want everyone always picking the same people because we want to talk about different people. But this class of players that Julio Mercado got, Julio, you outdid yourself. So at the 49th pick, he got running back J.K. Dobbins from Ohio State. Holy snap. If you get J.K. Dobbins, if the Steelers get J.K. Dobbins, they're in a good place. In my opinion, if they get anyone from DeAndre Swift, J.K. Dobbins, Jonathan Taylor, or Zach Moss with that second pick, they've won. That those are four backs that I am willing to bet on. Even Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I know he's small, But that guy is electric, and I really like what he brings to the table. But running back, huge need, huge get there in J.K. Dobbins. I think he's, you know, here's the thing with J.K. Dobbins, y'all. This man is a freak athlete. If you've ever seen like how he moves and what he's, you know, what he builds out as, I think he's going to destroy the NFL combine. And when he just does destroy this combine, say he runs a ridiculous 4.4 runs a ridiculous 40-yard dash, his cone drill is insane. He does all of that, and he's gonna shoot up into the first round. But heck of a pick at 49. Good job there. First of the fourth round picks, Adam Trautman, tight end, Dayton. Heck of a grab, Julio. I love Adam Trautman in the middle rounds. I don't want him in the second round. And I don't want him with that third round compensatory pick. Trautman is a heck of a playmaker tight end. There's a few of those in this draft class. The problem is there's very few that can actually block in this draft class. And that's going to be the big thing. But Trautman, very good playmaker. I believe he had a 4-touchdown game this past season. Now, granted, he's a Dayton Flyer. It's not exactly like doing this for LSU, Thaddeus Moss. Still, he's a heck of a prospect. I like a lot of things about him, and he's another one who, if he blows up in the combine, I do think he'll end up being a third round pick. Moving down the line, got receiver Michael Pittman Jr. Let me tell you guys, Michael Pittman looks very much the part of a wide receiver that I see the Steelers liking. He reminds me of the kind of player that you want, that they've been going for, the tougher guys that can make the tough catches, that have really good hands, really strong hands. He's big. He's 6'4". He's 219, but he comes from USC, and he's like these guys. You know, one thing that Mel Kiper always talks about, if you listen to the way Mel Kiper breaks down wide receivers, where do they catch the ball with their hands? And Michael Pittman Jr. is a guy that when his hands get to the football, they very rarely let it get past him. It rarely lets the ball get to his body. If you have a body catcher as far as wide receiver, you're often going to lead to problems in the NFL. He didn't have a lot of drops in college. He could be very physical. He could body people. My only gripe about this pick is that this is kind of what James Washington is, minus the 6'4" height. You know, they've got the physical guys. Him and Juju are other physical guys, and they have Deontay Johnson who can slice people up. I love Michael Pittman Jr. I think he's going to turn out to be a good wide receiver if he goes to the right team. But, interesting pick there. But still, I'm down for it because I liked the pick there. Got Shaheem Carter at safety. Now, this just for those who plan to do this in the future, safety is an important position for the Steelers. They're losing Sean Davis. Cam Kelly is off the team. That means Jordan Dangerfield is really their only safety they're bringing back. They're going to need answers. Now, Shaheem Carter, Alabama, so that carries a lot of weight, you look at that and you're like, man, I want pedigree. And the idea of, you know, this Alabama safety coming after Minkah Fitzpatrick being an Alabama safety, he's a guy that can get into the box. He's a guy that can play the slot cornerback position. He's pretty explosive. He gets after he gets around the field, but the problem is that when you get him into having to change directions a lot, I've only seen a little bit of this guy's tape. I haven't gotten a chance to dive into Shaheem Carter. It's, you know, depth safety has not been my priority, but he has the athleticism that you'd want at the safety position, and he's a good developmental pick. So if you're picking him where Julio picked him, and that's the 178th pick of the draft, I think that's totally fine. And if you get that guy, if he works out, great. If he doesn't, oh well, you spent a fifth round draft pick. I want people to understand, you need to hit in your first two rounds. Third round is like a maybe round. Fourth round is a really big maybe round. After that, it's already throwing darts at a dartboard. In the early rounds, when you get to the fourth and fifth rounds, you're really just maybe that guy and just bringing him in and hoping for the best. But you are never a bust if you're anywhere from the fourth rounds and beyond. You know, if you were picked at that point because they were like, well, we like some upsides about you, but there's some clear downsides, so we're just gonna gamble here. Now, third round picks, if you completely stink, then yeah, you're a bust in the third round. Second round picks, I think the threshold for second round picks are guys that are at least good positional players that contribute for their rookie contract. If you don't last beyond your rookie contract, I feel like with second rounders, oh well. First rounders, you have to hit. You have to hit your first rounder, and if you don't, you know it's not inexcusable. I mean, the Steelers have missed plenty of their first round draft picks, Jarvis Jones, Artie Burns, but they've also hit a large majority of them, and that represents a huge look at the Steelers roster right now. You got Cam Hayward, you got T.J. Watt, you got Bud Dupree, you got Devin Bush, you got Terrell Edmonds. You got, and really, Minkah Fitzpatrick counts as a first-round draft pick. And those are that's a pretty good makeup of the defense. You got, on the other side, you got Ben Roethlisberger. You got Marquise Pouncey. You got David DeCastro. I mean, that's a lot of hits. Wait, let's count it up. Ben Roethlisberger, Pouncey, DeCastro. That's three on the offense. You got Hayward. You got Watt. You got Dupree. You got Bush. You got Fitzpatrick. You got Edmonds. That's nine. It's nine. I just counted nine first round draft picks, whew, and they're doing really well. You know, and you could say Terrell Edmonds is doing okay. You know, we'll say he's doing really well. But everyone else had a very good 2019 season. So, well, I mean, of course, Ben Roethlisberger, he was hurt, but he's Ben Roethlisberger. You get what I'm saying. All right, last pick of Julio's draft. Going back to it, Tipa Galea, edge rusher. Edge rusher is going to be an interesting position because you got Anthony Ciccolo is most likely going to be gone. They're probably just going to have Tuzar Skipper and Ola Adini, which could make things interesting. But when you're getting down to these drafts, you're just picking in the dark. If you claim to know who these guys are, and unless you're a fan, like if you're picking Michael Divinity Jr., which is a popular pick because he went to LSU, but again, if you're picking him because he went to LSU, I get it. You're picking it because he went to that school, but don't pretend like you know everything about this guy. But for Tipa Galea, he went to Utah. He's a bigger bodied edge rusher, 6'5", 235. Really gets off the ball well from everything I've seen. And again, these are just quick glances I did before the show, just looking at some tape. He's really explosive, and he kind of reminds me of what Bud Dupree was when he was coming out of Kentucky. And not as good as what Bud Dupree was coming out of Kentucky, but he reminds me of the idea. It's like, man, if he gets a free path to the quarterback, he's going to do really well. If he can get around his guy, he's going to be great. But the problem is that when you attack him with different looks, when an offensive tackle has a good drop step, it could easily neutralize his rush. He has to figure out different ways to win. That comes with everybody. Again, you're picking at like the 37th pick, or not 37th, that's like the 6th or 7th round there. I'm not mad at you if you miss it. So, heck of a job, Julio Mercado. If you want to be on next week's Mock Draft Monday, be sure to get into the Locked On Steelers Facebook group. Go to Facebook, search Locked On Steelers, ask to join the group. I'll add you. And then every Friday, what I'll do from now point on, I'll post hey, this is Mock Draft Monday. Submit your mock drafts here. I'll go through them, and you can be on the show. So do that. And again, even if you don't want to do that, do join the group. It's a fun group. We talk a lot. We have a lot of good conversations. We joke about a lot of things in there. You can interact with me as well as former co-host Tony Serino. He's up in the group. So that's always fun. At any point in time, if you're listening to the show, if you ever want to interact with me, follow me on Twitter at Carter Critiques. You follow me, I'll follow you back. Hit me with a DM. Always down to chat with you guys. I chat with a lot of you guys. Sorry if I don't respond right away to some of you guys. It is a lot. There's always stuff I'm trying to do and trying to, you know, do more research to make sure I'm bringing you guys the goods. If you're listening to this podcast and you like what you're hearing, please hit that subscribe button. Leave a positive rating, a 5-star rating, along with a positive comment. We got a new 5-star rating. Thank you to Mendy Weinstein. February 10th. Thank you. Mindy says, I have a solid quality Steeler information. These guys give a lot of information and the perspective of the Steelers and everything happening with the Steelers. I listen to them almost every day. Thank you, Mindy. You are very much appreciated. Leave your 5-star review and I will read it on the show, even if it's a weird name. As long as it's, you know, safe for work, family friendly. That's what we're doing here. We don't do what the Bengals hosts do and just Joe dropping F-bombs. Oh, gosh. But yeah, thanks for listening to the show. Be sure to tune in tomorrow. It's going to be Tony Tuesdays. Tony Serino will be back on the show. Catch you guys tomorrow. Have a great day.